Hi everyone, Emily Alexina back here today. I wish you well. I wish you alignment. I wish you joy. I wish you peace and safety. It feels good to wish that for others, doesn't it? My very first podcast episode is a beautiful Buddhist meditation of wishing well for others. And there's this man, he's quoted as being the happiest person in the world because he was evaluated by scientists and this is what they determined, some kind of French Buddhist monk. And he suggests that meditation practice as the main practice to make you happy. When you are not focused on your own problems and you are wishing well for others, so not also trying to fix other people's problems, but spending time each day to send them love and good prayers and good vibes, you get happy. Especially to people who anger you, frustrate you, that you are in conflict with. The best thing, and I have done this when there are people in my life that I'm in conflict with, I do that Buddhist meditation practice and wish them well, and then realize that I do want them to be well. And so how can I resolve the conflict in a way that is win-win for both of us, for both people? My heart feels better simply wishing that for you, dear listener. Today, I wanted to talk about this concept of making decisions out of love or out of fear. I just came from an awesome festival that was held by my friend Anna, who runs a school from her home called Scalar Human. And it is like a conscious sort of Waldorf school for children. And it's wonderful to see her process. I met her about 5 or 6 years ago, and I remember I was even invited to try to teach French at her school, which was in her friend's art studio. And I had Radha, who was with me, who was about 18 months at the time, and I was trying to teach this class while having Radha off to the side, and it was not working very well, and we had to stop. And she was also figuring out what she was doing, how she wanted to arrange her groups, whether the moms would be present or not. And it wasn't very, you know, smooth or organized at the time, but that's how we have to start, right? And I hear so many parents right now who complain about the education system, who are homeschooling and who say how school is so bad and who want to start schools. And it's been very interesting to watch Anna and her husband actually start something. They've hired teachers, and it's wonderful to see what they're doing with the kids. And there are some things I like and some things I don't like, and they're learning and growing, and it's hard. It's hard to be that person to start something and to learn and to grow from it. And so I'm very grateful to know her, to follow her journey, to have gone to the festival today. And today she invited some speakers who were from Roots and Wings. They had started some pod. It was like an organized pod situation in COVID times, so that parents could find kind of conscious education pods in their area. That was the intent of it. And I think that doesn't work, hasn't quite worked out. I think a lot of people have gone back to school, just sent their kids back to school, and so there isn't the interest for it. But they are moving on to other projects, and I will try to put that in the show notes below. It was very interesting to connect with these women who are in kind of conscious education, new earth education, working with children who are different and more alive and elevated, and trying to support families and how to connect with their children. So I think they have some parenting courses. I'm very interested in looking into their offerings and what they're doing. It was great to meet them in person. And we had this beautiful conversation with the parents who were present at the festival about conscious education for the new generation and what that looks like. And there was this idea that came up about, you know, what are the main things that we need to teach our children? What main values do we have to pass on to their children? And two things that came up were that we have to make decisions out of love and not make them out of fear, and teach our children to make decisions out of love and not out of fear, and also to do no harm. That we can be and we can do whatever we want, but at least do no harm. And I want to touch upon these two subjects because these are things that I have held in my personal worldview and have tried to live by. And I have found that they don't really work so well, or that those sentences aren't enough. And if I try to squeeze my experience and my decision-making, and my actions and thinking into those sentences and kind of philosophies, I feel very uncomfortable. And I end up, in the end, I think actually creating more harm for myself and for others. So let's first start with this idea of making decisions out of love or out of fear. And I've seen this in books before, spiritual teachers, they've said, there's only two decisions. There's only two ways when you make a decision, it's either a loving decision. It's either generated and fueled by love, or it's either generated and fueled by fear. And you get to choose, and be careful where you want to be. Be careful not to choose fear. That's really bad. And it's really good if you make decisions out of love. And I challenge that. I don't actually think that love and fear are two opposites. I think that this is kind of simplifying our decision making and simplifying life into, for example, black and white. And when I was a teenager and even in my young adult years, I definitely saw the world as black and white. There was right and there was wrong. And this is something I've been grappling with for so long and have now come to this new place of there's no black and white. The world is actually very colorful. It's rainbow. And what does the rainbow make, or where does it come from, the rainbow? The rainbow comes from like white light, right? The source of all light, one can say. And so it's all one. And when we talk about this love or fear, this good and bad, good and evil even, we're splitting the source into the next dimension of the polar opposites. And I think it can be like a level that is very useful. And certainly I still consider these things in my life, but I think what's more important is to connect with the source and to connect with alignment. And so my question now when I'm thinking or making decisions or deciding to take an action is this in alignment? And I would define alignment as kind of, is this in alignment with my highest potential, my highest human experience that I can have in this moment, because my sense of alignment is going to shift over time. And so for me, I come into my body, I watch my thoughts, like what are the thoughts and stories that are generating these actions. When I'm evaluating my thoughts, I'm even considering what emotions are these thoughts generating and what actions are they fueling. And if I don't like the emotion that my thoughts are generating, I change them very quickly. For example, I have recently had a conflict with someone and I felt very hurt. I felt very hurt. And I kept telling myself, I'm so hurt. I'm just so hurt. I'm so hurt. And I'm catching myself much faster now in the way that I think. And I realized, oh my gosh, I keep telling myself I'm hurt. I'm going to keep hurting. And so I love the Byron Katie technique. You can go back a few episodes and listen to the episode about having the belief that people don't understand me and don't understand who I am. And go back and listen to that episode to learn about the Byron Katie episode, to learn about the work by Byron Katie, which is to kind of flip our thoughts around. And so I would hear myself saying, I'm so hurt, I'm so hurt, I'm just so hurt. And I got caught these thoughts and I realized, oh my gosh, I keep hurting myself by continuing this cycle. And so I thought, am I that hurt? Can I flip the thought around? Is this really true? Is it 100% true? Am I really that hurt? Can I not be hurt? I'm not hurt, or I'm hurting myself, or I'm actually healing with this conflict. I'm releasing something. I'm growing in this conflict. And all of a sudden it lifts and my emotions change. My body feels lighter. I'm more present. And for that, that is for me alignment. And so one could say that is love, and the fear side of things is the hurt. But I don't know if it's really so simple. I actually think that sometimes being motivated by fear can actually end up turning out all right in the grand scheme of things. You know, we can make a lot of decisions because we don't want something. Fear can be, you know, not wanting if we want good health and we're afraid of illness, then we're going to choose health. And I guess one could say, well, you're choosing it because you love health and you're not choosing it because you fear illness. But to me, it really sounds more like desire and, oh, what's the opposite? That word is escaping me right now. Like resisting or pushing something away. That you have to go towards the desire and you have to not make decisions because you're pushing something away, love or fear. And I would say they're kind of the same thing. Like desiring one thing is not desiring other things, right? It's choosing, it's polarity, it's duality, it's making choices, which we have to do in our life. But I've come to see that there almost is no choice that is ultimately very bad. You know, there are definitely like quote unquote bad things that happen in life. But my practice of QHHT and meditation practice and other studies that I've done have brought me to see that existence is just existence. It all just is. It all is source. And I believe that it's all from God. It's all infused with love. And even the most difficult situations can have a silver lining, and that there's still always a glimmer, an underlying thing of love, where it's always God's creation, always. And Dolores has written some incredible books, including some of people who accessed past lives of Hiroshima, the nuclear bomb survivors, or not survivors, I guess, people who died in that nuclear bomb. And I actually haven't read it yet, but I have read other stories of people who died who, you know, say that they've connected to past lives where they've died in a volcano eruption or other circumstances. And the perspective you get from these stories is really incredible. And so I've come to this place that all of existence just is. And it is always loving, and God is always loving through everything. And perhaps I will be challenged in this, especially as I share it out loud publicly. I might come across some really difficult, challenging things. I work with people in QHHT who have had very, very challenging lives and childhoods, abuse. And, you know, I think it's because, like in yoga, we say that it depends what you identify with. Are you identifying with the body, or do you identify with your personality, or do you identify with your soul and things that are beyond, you know, what we see in this world? And so this gets a bit philosophical and theosophical, but I don't know. That's where I am and where I'm heading. And so I don't really worry about whether or not I'm making decisions out of love or fear. I think making decisions out of fear can sometimes be a good motivation. Why not? To motivate us and push us, you know? If you're out of money and you fear being out of money, then that's going to kick you in the butt to get working, isn't it? And that can be a thing that will bring wholeness and harmony and healing and, you know, beautiful things to the world. So why not? And yes, my decision-making process is now more out of alignment, trying to make sure that I'm in presence, that I'm not in my mental mind too much, that I can evaluate things and then come down, ground down, be in my heart, be present, be aware of my surroundings, be connected to the people that I'm around, and be connected to my inner voice and my higher knowing and kind of my intuition, and act and live from that space. And then there really isn't this question of, oh my gosh, am I in love or in fear? No, you're just always in alignment, making decisions, trusting that creation is creation. Some things will seem to have negative consequences, you know, possibly for a short time. Some things will have good consequences for a short time that could end up in the end not working out, you know, but then further working out. You never know how things are going to go. So that's a little perspective. Then the next thing I wanted to talk about is this idea of not doing any harm. And this came up in a recent QHHT session with a friend, and her higher self told her that the beings on the other side, kind of their guardian angels and those who are helping human souls when they cross over after death, that they tell the souls not to do any harm when they come on earth. And if there are souls who do harm on earth and feel no regret or remorse and don't want to change how they act, then they, after their death, they kind of get removed and put into a place of healing, or they don't get to come back to earth. That was her message, which was very interesting. And in Dolores's work, that's consistent with what I've seen in Dolores's work. Now, when we're on earth, this idea of not doing any harm, I think can get us a little bit lost sometimes. My husband, Russian, stoic, sometimes harsh in the way that he speaks, but maybe not harsh, just more direct. I would call it direct. He says, especially in Canada, we have like a pandemic of kindness, and that it slows us down. It creates a lack of directness when people are talking to each other, because everyone's just trying to be kind, but then we kind of beat around the bush and don't get to the point. And so again, I come back to alignment, and not being, I mean, this would come into the philosophies described in the 15 commitments of conscious leadership. And they talk about getting off of the drama triangle of being a victim, a hero, or a villain. People most often kind of live in that drama triangle, and coming above the line into 100% responsibility for our life, our actions, our thoughts, and not blaming others and not trying to save others and not also just being a victim to the world. And I think when we kind of think about harming, there's this idea that like we can blame other people for harming us. And of course, you know, I think what we more want to develop is consciousness and awareness of others, and awareness of ourselves, and focusing on coming into alignment, listening to, again, our inner voice, our guidance. And I believe, I hold that guidance, it is not seeking to do harm. So if we are living from that place, then, you know, we will be able to take win-win actions and do less harm. But sometimes in the short run, it definitely could be perceived as harm, because harm is like a subjective thing. Someone might say something directly in a direct tone to someone else, and that other person might interpret it as harmful and say, you hurt me, you harmed me. And then the first person would say, oh, you know, I did something harmful, then maybe I'm wrong and I'm not doing what my mom told me to do. She told me to live and to not do any harm, but I just harmed this person. So what am I supposed to do? I think that there's two things. We can't live a life where we're not going to harm or hurt anyone in a superficial way at all. You know, pretty much every human being is going to go through the world and say at least something that is going to be perceived as harmful by someone else. That's number one. And two, number two is that if we are identifying with our soul and we're connected to source, we almost can't ever really be harmed. And that's, again, maybe a bit philosophical and spiritual and maybe bypassing. Of course, we can, you know, consciously do harm. But I think it comes, again, back to consciousness of ourselves and awareness of others and the situation. And so certainly there are ways that we can say things that have more kindness and more heart infused in our words. And at the same time, we can stand our ground and put boundaries, you know, come into responsibility for our life, tell people when they're overstepping the line, and they might interpret that as being harmful. And we can say that we are in alignment and we're not harming ourselves. That's one of the things, is that sometimes by avoiding to do harm to others, if that's our motivation, a lot of times that ends up harming our own self, because we can't control how others perceive our words, thoughts, and actions. And of course, I think if I had gotten into this discussion with these people and I wanted to bring up this point, we would have been able to develop this further. There was one person who was a teacher who was saying that, you know, even turning your back to someone and excluding them from a circle can be harmful to that child. And, you know, I would say that's great to be aware of that and to teach kids to be inclusive. But sometimes we're not going to be welcome into all the circles. Sometimes someone's just not going to want us around. And it could be harmful for us to impose ourselves into that space. And so I think another thing to teach kids is that, is a sense of self, a sense of self-love, a sense of self... what's the word, kind of like self-resource, where you have a well within yourself that if someone excludes you, you can turn around and you know where to go, you know what to do, you know where to go within yourself. And of course, it depends on the situation. But yeah, I think that, and this is part of the whole thing, right, a little bit with the gender ideology is... what was the way that someone said it? It's like complete... inclusivity is not possible. Like perfect inclusivity is not possible. It is exclusive, right? Like men who want to live lives as women and then impose themselves into women's spaces and then tell other women who don't agree with that, that they're then not allowed in the women's space. It doesn't really work, right? Like we can't have perfect inclusivity. And so it's okay sometimes to separate things. It's okay sometimes to, you know, put up superficial harm, perhaps, and put up boundaries. But mostly, and this is my argument, is to be connected and in alignment with our highest guidance, with our connection to God, and with our inner guidance. I'm repeating myself. I think that means that I am done saying what I wanted to say. I hope this was helpful. If you have any thoughts about this, don't hesitate to reach out via email, via my website, which is now running. Also via Instagram and Facebook, on my Facebook page. There's lots of links and different ways to connect with me. I look forward to growing this community and sharing other people's thoughts on the podcast. Also, rating and reviewing the podcast on iTunes or Spotify is very helpful. Okay, friends, I wish you the most beautiful day.